got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way featuring Grant Gallagher. Grant is the Director of Financial Wellbeing and Brand Communications with Affinity Federal Credit Union. He is the co-host of Wellbeing and Your Wallet. We had an awesome conversation that, of course, started with two truths and a lie. Then we got into the realities of subscriptions and how companies are interested in monetizing us in ways that keep us paying on a monthly basis, how to know if we should keep doing that or if it's time to take a step back, how to audit our cash flow on a monthly basis, what steps we need to take to do that, how to handle difficult situations with money, like gifts around the holidays for family members and all of that good stuff, and how to be more courageous and intentional about how to have those kinds of conversations so that we are not doing things that we're not comfortable with or putting ourselves in a poor financial situation. And finally, we closed with a great difference-making tip on how to evaluate different recurring agreements that we have with companies like our cell phone bills and our cable providers and all that good stuff. I know you're going to love it. Let's go. Grant, good to see you again. Welcome back to get us started. George. Yes. Give me two truths and a lie, please.
All right. So number one, I earn thousands in cash back annually. Number two, I spend over $100 annually in bag fees. And for those of you that don't know, in New Jersey, we have non-reusable bags that are required. You can't get a single-use bag. So if you don't have it, you have to pay for it. And then my last one is my favorite currency is the $2 bill.
Okay. These are excellent. You came prepared, Grant.
I tried to stay on topic, you know?
Which I appreciate. You earn thousands of dollars in cash back every year. You pay $100 a year in bag fees. And you, what was the last one? I wrote it down, but I can't read my handwriting.
My favorite currency is the $2 bill.
The $2 bill. Okay. I'm going to guess that you do not, that the lie is that you do not pay $100 in bag fees.
You know, you nailed it. Very nice. I actually only spend about $75 annually in bag fees.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's something I'll talk about in a little bit. But yeah, isn't that crazy? Can like just we, something?
Yeah, it's certainly a fascinating thing, and hopefully it's changing behaviors, because I often think, like, my goodness, the amount of plastic bags that are just thrown in the trash every day from one store must be massive versus what's happening all around the earth. So,
yeah, and you know, I was actually an early adopter to the reusable bag stuff here in New Jersey, but I intentionally choose to do online grocery pickup. You know, I order it, they shop for me, I do curbside pickup. It's like a $5 charge every time I do it. But the trade-off is it's at least 45 minutes in the grocery store to do their shopping. And if I take my kids along, forget about it. It's like an hour, even longer. They're going to want at least, you know, one, two, three things. That $5 fee to get back, you know, about an hour of my weekend back, easy money. Best money I spent. You know, I look at that as a investment in my time. But, you know, one of the things I kind of want to tie into today's conversation is they also have a $1.50 bag fee every time, because obviously, you know, they can't load up your reusable bags. They have to give you new bags every time. And, you know, you take them back every time, they recycle them. It's still an eco-friendly proposition, but they still have to charge you for those bags. So there's actually that $75 hidden cost fee if you do this every week for a year, where, you know, if you weren't thinking about it, I can think of a lot of things I could spend $75 on that would be definitely well worth it. Bag fees, I don't know. It doesn't make it as good of a value proposition, but it's still worth it to me. So, you know, kind of where I'm going with this is, you need to be intentional with your money. You need to be intentional with what you're spending on. And, you know, if it is worth it to you, that's what matters. You know, don't let anybody else tell you that you're wasting your money. I mean, unless it's obviously a big waste of money. But if it makes sense, if it's an investment in your time, it's an investment in yourself, do it. You know what matters to you.
I think that that is great. And I want to circle back on that idea of you know what matters to you, but I want to hear about this $2 bill thing first.
So, you know, I find that out in life, anytime that there's a use for a $1 bill, a $2 bill is that much better.
Yeah. You know? All right.
Because how often, you know, I like, George, what do you use $1 bills for?
Well, practically not really that much, I guess, but put them into vending machines. I don't know.
Yeah. It's like they're usually for tips.
Yeah.
And not even really like vending machines anymore. Like I can't even really remember, like, that most of them have like a tap to pay thing on it. So it's not even really that much anymore. So it's like, I was finding that I was just having these like decrepit $1 bills in my wallet for the rare times I tip. And a $2 bill is such like a rare novelty that it's like almost a conversation starter.
For sure.
It's like, you know, my wife and my kids roll their eyes at me when I bust out my $2 bills, but people are like generally like, oh, this is interesting. This is cool. This is different. And you know, why leave a $1 tip when you can leave a $2 tip, right?
I love everything about that. And you tell that wife and kids, like, this is fun. People like it. Stop,
yes.
Stop raining on my parade. No $2 bills like, for you.
Yeah, exactly. They get the dollar coins, you know,
yeah,
and they're,
okay.
They're happy with those. They jingle.
There you go. You know, I think that that's awesome. And there's so many hidden opportunities to just brighten somebody's day. And that is such a simple way to do it. And if you don't believe Grant and I, Grant, in this example, with the $2 bill, try it. Go get some $2 bills and just watch the conversations that kind of spring up from it. So
see how people react. You'll be surprised.
I love it. All right. So you know what matters to you. I think I hope that that's true for everybody. And I spend a lot of time thinking about what really matters. And it's not just the money piece, right? Money is one of our most valuable resources, but so is our time, which you're talking about. Yeah. You're getting back 45 minutes into your weekend, but we just need to balance that. We need to make those decisions and think about it.
Yeah. And believe it or not, George, and I'm sure this is going to shock you, but there are people out there not being intentional with their time and their money and the way they spend it. You know, maybe even some of your listeners, I don't want to point any fingers out, but they may not be intentional about those decisions. And, you know, everyone likes to pick on the cup of coffee. They're like, oh, you're buying a cup of coffee every day. I'm going to give it its day off today. But subscriptions, they're in the crosshairs because everybody has them. They seem to be creeping, seem to be going everywhere, right? A lot of us just kind of sign up for things and then forget about it. We don't pay attention to it because it's a chore, right? You know, George, when's the last time you audited your subscriptions?
I make it a point to go through all of my spending on at least a monthly basis. Not always perfect at that, but I try. And I can tell you that when I didn't do that, it piled up on me. My wife and I went through the exercise after not doing it for a couple of years. We found hundreds of dollars of stuff that we were spending money on that we just didn't even use anymore.
And that's typical. And let me ask you, and this is a, you know, totally a habit thing, but does your review include looking through things like your cell phone bill, your cable bill, you know, those other things that like to give you add-ons? Because, you know, I was talking with one of my colleagues here, and they discovered that they were subscribed to Netflix like 3 times across Apple TV, directly with Netflix, and then through their cell phone provider. So
there's no way I would do something that dumb. Yeah, there totally is. I do dumb stuff like that all the time.
But that's, you know, that's kind of the point I want to make here is like you see these things and they seem like they're convenient at the time. They seem like they're a good deal. And then you forget that you did it and then you sign up again. And then it's just this compounding effect where, you know, yeah, $8 here, $8 there doesn't seem like a big thing. And then you're spending $50 a month on subscriptions. And I don't know about you, George, but I only have so many hours in the day that I can watch streaming and I can only watch one at a time. So, you know, the reality is you really need to sit down and make these intentional, thoughtful decisions about, is this worth my money? Do I need to be subscribed to 5 things at the same time? And am I subscribed to the same things multiple times over. And the only way you discover that is if you sit down, you do the work, you audit these things, make sure that you are aware of where your money is going. Because listen, if there's an opportunity to get your money, somebody out there is going to figure out a way to do it. So, you know, you need to be on guard. You need to do your due diligence. And that even extends beyond just making sure you're not just signing up for things you forgot about, but it's also, you know, are there bundles you can take advantage of? Another friend I was talking to actually today, I talk about money a lot, if you can't tell. He was telling me, you know, he was independently subscribed to Hulu, Disney Plus, and ESPN for three times the cost of what their bundle is, where you can get all those together. And it's like, I subscribe to all those things too, and I'm pretty sure I'm paying for them independently. I did not even bother to look and see if there was a bundle. So it's like, what deals are out there? And you know, you don't have to do it every day. You don't have to do it, you know, every week, but every month, every couple of months, just go through the stuff. See if there's a better deal out there. Because, you know, the worst that can happen is you lose a little bit of time and you don't save any money, but there probably is an upside where you're going to save a fair amount of money.
I totally agree. We live in this time where everybody wants our attention. They want our likes, our clicks, yep. And they are very interested in signing us up for their recurring revenue subscription model, which is great for them, but not necessarily great for us. It might be great for us, but being mindful, which is really what you're talking about. And I mean, yeah, if you go through and you realize, okay, I'm getting everything that I want at the lowest possible price, well, now you know, instead of just wondering. But odds are you're going to find some stuff. You're going to find some subscriptions or some things that you're paying for that you don't even use anymore, or maybe you don't use enough to justify the cost.
Well, and you know, deep diving into that a little bit, how often do we see these just very... I don't want to go as far as to say predatory tactics, but they're tactics meant to lean into the human psychology. They want to take advantage of everybody's fear of missing out, fear of missing a good deal. You know, and we see these things on social media all the time where it's these flashing limited time banner ads, you know, something's on sale for 70% off. It's got a ticking down timer. It's got all these things that like your lizard brain goes, uh-oh, I'm going to miss out if I'm not taking advantage of it now. And, you know, you get in, you beat the timer, you're upsold on getting another one for just the cost of the shipping. And then once you actually get it, you realize like, oh, this is kind of trash and I wouldn't have bought it if I wasn't on sale, if I didn't feel like I was missing out, and you either throw it out or you shove it in a drawer and forget about it. So, you know, one of the things that I really try to encourage people to do is take a step back and try to look out for these triggers that they're trying to take advantage of. I mean, they're never going to go away. The reason they do them is because they work. But, you know, take a step back and try to make an independent, intentional decision of, is this something I would buy at this price if it wasn't on sale? Would I just go out and purchase this? Or is this something that I'm really being manipulated into buying? And, you know, also, is this just a generally something I need? You know, I think a lot of us kind of fall prey to, hey, this could improve my life in some sort of way. And then you realize that your actual realistic you and your idealistic you are two very different people, and you haven't met each other yet. You know, you're still trying to get there. You're still trying to be that person that eats right and goes to the gym and saves money like you should. But, you know, when you do this really ambitious spending, you wind up with a lot of stuff for the apartment of, you know, ambitious you that just not, you're not there yet. You know, what, one day you'll be able to move there with all that exercise equipment and that, you know, bicycle and the healthy eating plan. But the reality is you need to be honest with yourself and be realistic. And, you know, the sooner you can kind of focus on taking small steps to improve yourself to get towards that better you and not the big dive, the big expensive dive into something you don't potentially need, you know, really the better off you'll be and the more meaningful that impact will be, because you're able to actually achieve it, not just think about it, set yourself up for failure.
Man, there's a lot of stuff in there, and it's all 100% true. that they figured out they marketers, they want to sell our products, sell their products to us. And sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes it's a bad thing, but yeah, our brains haven't necessarily caught up with the fact that everybody's got the same countdown timer and additional offer and this, that, and the other thing, which is fine for them, but not necessarily what we need. And we probably all had the experience of not buying the thing as it sits in our cart and then miraculously receiving emails saying, oh, we're going to give you an even deeper discount if you buy it now. So
what a coincidence.
What a coincidence. So a little bit of time and space and sleeping on it. But then the idea of your actual you versus your idealistic you, I wrote down aspirational purchases. Yeah. So I'm going to buy this weight set or this exercise bike or whatever. And I never use it, but I keep paying for some kind of a subscription. I mean, there's shame there. There's guilt. There's so much going on.
Yep. And George, I will just come out and say this right here to everybody who's listening. I have now been donating to my gym for 2 years now.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they am grateful. They are very grateful for it. I have ambitions of getting back to it one day. And I'm still paying for it because I'm still ambitious. But, you know, realistically, could I have taken that money and bought, you know, slightly healthier food? Could I have bought something that was small and, you know, easily done at home? Yeah, those all probably would have been better purchases. But, you know, I can't let go of that thought. But it's, you know, it's important that you take that step and recognize that, you know, this is what it is. You can't just kind of be like, oh, but it's still a good spend. No, I know it's a bad spend, but I know that the day where that inspiration hits, I have removed all of those barriers in place so that I can just scoop up my lazy self, throw on my gym shoes, and actually go to the gym.
And there's a sunk cost fallacy there too, that I've been spending so much money on this over the past 2 years. We'll just use you as an example, but there's a thousand things that I could point to myself as having continually spent money on aspirationally and have never gotten around to actually doing it. But you're like, oh my gosh, I've been paying for this thing for 2 years. I can't stop now because it would have been a waste, but that is incorrect thinking.
Yeah. I mean, especially for anything that is truly a subscription based, you know, you're paying for the access during that time. There is no added up value there. There's no, you know, they're not going to treat you any better at the gym just because you showed up after you've been paying for 2 years. Like the reality is you need to know when to cut it. And when it's that, you know, you've accepted that your ideal you is they're not showing up today, you know, and can you probably sign? Could I probably sign back up for the gym after I canceled it? Yes, absolutely. But, you know, I tell myself, I'm like, I know that if I cancel it, that's another barrier to me actually getting there. So it's like, it's worth it to me to know that that barrier isn't there when I can push myself. And, you know, as a parent of young kids, it's like anything you can remove from yourself getting to a healthier place is a win in my book.
Yeah, totally agree. And of course, the gym will happily have you back as soon as you're ready to start paying the membership fee again. So that's not.
I hear they're good with that.
Yeah. So I'm kind of carrying on this idea of our ideal selves, our idealistic selves. Well, I think we all want to be magnanimous and generous and giving, but that doesn't mean that's good for our financial situation, particularly when we are trying to get ahead financially, but there's never quite enough money. Yeah. I think about the idea around the holidays where all of a sudden I need to buy gifts for 50 cousins, and how in the world am I going to do that?
Yeah.
And I think probably a lot of other people think about that kind of stuff too.
Yeah, they people fall victim to trying to live up to others' expectations, what the norms are. You know, a lot of time it's a case of they're just uncomfortable around the conversation of money and gifting and things like that. But it's, you know, it's one of those things where if you're just going to avoid it, you know, it's like everything else. It's just going to be status quo. It's just going to cost you more money. But you know, the reality is a lot of people are struggling with their finances. A lot of people, you know, they struggle with feeling like they need to overspend or overgift. And, you know, or the example when you're, you know, going out to eat with a group of friends and everybody has that one friend that wants to order 75 appetizers and bottles of wine for everybody. And the bill is just ballooning and ballooning and ballooning. And, you know, you feel uncomfortable talking about what's my budget. And, you know, the reality is the shame is there because you haven't made it a common accepted thing to have this open conversation. I think most people realize that a lot of folks go on diets at some point, right? They're trying to improve their health. They're trying to lose some weight. Just, you know, it's something that everybody's just like, oh, yeah, that's a totally normal thing. It's not weird at all. But why is there a stigma for your financial diet? You know, it's like, why is that an uncomfortable conversation when it's totally reasonable for somebody to try and save money? It's totally reasonable for somebody to say like, my budget is X dollars. Can't we try to keep it within this? And I think people would just be a lot more accepting if you put that information out there up front. You had that conversation. When it comes to gift giving, I think having that conversation about what's our budget is totally reasonable. And I think a lot of people just kind of have the fear of the unknown. They're like, this is something new. We haven't had this conversation before. I don't know how somebody's going to react. But you know, you never know. The other person on the other side could be struggling just as much as you, if not more. And that could be a very welcome conversation to have. You just got to be open and honest and, you know, again, intentional with your spending.
Yeah. I think that's all really well said. That those awkward feelings for really no reason, because we're all feeling or thinking probably pretty similar things. And yeah, particularly when it comes to gift giving, I'll just share a brief story because it's an honest thing that happened a couple of years ago. My wife and I were like, oh my gosh, we have to get gifts for like 20 different people. I'm like, there's no way that the other parents wouldn't also like the idea of just buying one gift, like as a Secret Santa kind of a thing. So yep, we all just pull a name and we buy one gift versus buying 20. And lo and behold, we just said, hey, would you guys be open to a Secret Santa kind of a format where everybody buys one gift? And they, of course, said yes. So
yeah. And I'm sure they were thrilled that you were the one to make that suggestion.
Yeah. So it's just being honest with ourselves and having the courage, which it does take. This, you know, doing uncomfortable things is uncomfortable, and courage and a little bit of preparation with the language. That's how it helps me to take the leap.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's all just about thinking about how to approach it, thinking about the people you're talking with. And you know, again, most people are reasonable. They're going through a lot of the same stuff you are. If you're just having a conversation, if you're just throwing something out there, the worst that anybody can ever say is no.
That's right. And we need to do a better job of just saying no also. So like, say no to subscriptions, say no to doing things you're not interested in doing. So I love it. Well, Grant, we're ready for that difference making tip. What do you have for us?
All right. Well, you know, my tip of today is go out there and look at all of your bills. Look at all of your cell phone bill, your internet bill, anything that could have cost, that signed you up for a subscription, go look at it. Because chances are there's something you've forgotten about there, or they've raised the price on you and you didn't pay notice and you need to go back and renegotiate, bring your plan back down, something like that. Little things like that can save you a couple bucks. And, you know, is it going to let you retire early? Probably not, but might be able to afford you a nice night out on the town with your family.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on. Yeah. Yeah. I'd rather have $100 than not. That's just always going to be true. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that $100 and go and get $52 bills and make everybody's day.
There we go.
Let's go.
I love it.
Well, Grant, thank you so much for coming back on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you?
Thanks for having me, George. They can find more. Well, I am the co-host of the Wellbeing in Your Wallet podcast. They can find me at wellbeinginyourwallet.com. And also, I work for a credit union, and we do all sorts of cool credit union stuff. And you can check us out at affinityfcu.com.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this much as I did, show Grant your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Check out the Wellbeing and Your Wallet podcast. You can go to wellbeingandyourwallet.com, check it out, and then go to affinityfcu.com and engage with Grant in all of those ways. I'll link all of them in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Grant.
Thanks, Josh.
Finally, friendly reminder. What Grant and I have been talking about today, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.